Welcome to the 111th Monk in My Back podcast. Read our blog at moncomics.com and contact us at moncast@gmail.com to leave us comments and contributions. In the pod, we discuss this week's news, talk about new comics in our spinning orders, and in this week's spotlight, I discuss Army at Love. Mumcast, the comic book podcast that doesn't know what it believes anymore. Around the mic tonight are...
Hello, I'm Nick.
Hello, I'm James.
Hello, I'm Jane.
When you say that that was specifically scripted for Jane, do you mean the bit where she said, this week, I do such and such?
Correct.
Right,
okay. That's
yeah, no, we couldn't
it.
Possibly have changed that, could we? No,
I
right.
emphasised it for James.
I don't think any of us could have, either of us could have done a better job than Jane as well. Thank you very much
really,
for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for tuning in, listeners.
Yeah, hi listeners, thank you for listening.
I can't see the menu.
Really?
The menu? Oh. Well, tonight we have
Okay, cool. No, I've got it. Yeah, I've got it.
Nick knows what's happening tonight on the Slickest Podcast. This side of...
Slicksville.
Shirley.
I was thinking of the Avenue.
This side of the Avenue in Southampton.
That's a road in Southampton where we record. Southampton, United Kingdom.
Yes.
Is that the most banal thing I've ever said on the...
I don't think it can be,
shit.
Can it?
Oh, dear.
So how are you two? Are you both good?
Yeah,
we're all good.
Have a little drink of tea, sorry.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, like you, I'm going to keep my... I know you went through quite a lot of vocal exercises last week. You drank some honey and lemon. And I, too, want to keep my my vocal cords in pristine condition for this.
La 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 la.
Not singing. Not tonight.
No.
That's not singing. That's a vocal exercise. My coach. My vocal coach.
Voc-coach.
La 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 la. La 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 la. These are all very important things, James. I'll show you. I'll do a few afterwards.
I'll tell you what I did this week. I think I might have finally cracked my 9.5-year-old nephew in terms of getting him into comics.
Uh-huh.
I think I might have had some success. They came over to our house on Sunday, and he showed an interest. Well, first of all, showed an interest in my AT-AT, which is fair enough. So I had to get that down, let them play with it, and all the time pretend that I wasn't freaking out they're going to break it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when they like held up one of the laser cannons from the side and go, Uncle James, is this meant to come off? It's like, yeah, it's fine. It goes back on. It's not a problem. But
that snapping noise.
Yeah.
That's just...
He was fine. He wasn't. He's fine. Yeah. He came off. But he managed to make his way into our bedroom, which I think is quite rude. When I was a 9-year-old, I've never gone into my auntie and uncle's bedroom. But that's regardless. And I had a load of comics on the... So once I'd persuaded him to stop reading the final issue of Ennis's Chronicles of Wormwood.
Yeah, bad idea.
Yeah, not a great idea for a 9-year-old. I did say to him, Jack, I don't think that's age appropriate for you, and then realised that he probably wouldn't understand what I was talking about anyway.
Appropriate's quite a big word.
It is, and I don't know if he's done it yet. He started flicking through a few of the others, and he looked at all the comics I've got in my long boxes and the stacks that I need to go in a box, and said, have you got any that you don't need? I looked at him for a couple of seconds, and said, what?
said, there is no such thing.
Don't need. And I said, need's an interesting word, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And then told him that I collect them. So I went off and I found a couple of comics I thought he might be interested in. So he likes Harry Potter, so I gave him the Mad Harry Potter special. And he said, oh, Mad. Thanks.
It's a bit... dry for a
I guess thing. I really dug it when I was 9, to be honest with you. Maybe I was a weird kid. But then I gave him my copy of Shame Itself that I spoke about last week.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
he
funny.
Fucking loved it. So his mum's taken him to our local Forbidden Planet this Sunday, and I'm just going to let him buy some of his own comic books. So
that's great.
I may or may not go with them.
I'm
really
great.
Happy. Really, and he is sort of, without wishing to talk too personally about my family, I know that, you know, reading is one of the things that he kind of not has trouble with per se, but it's not one of his best subjects. So I'm hoping when he gets in the comic books, that'll sort of give him a little bit of a...
It's good for youth literacy, especially in boys.
So that was really positive, made me very happy.
It's funny, you mentioned the thing about needing comics. So obviously, we're still surrounded by mine. I've stalled a little bit on sorting them out. I'm on C, but B was a real sticking point for me because of all the Batmans and stuff. But I've recently ended up back in touch with a very, very like old, long ago school friend of mine who I started reading comics with, and he started collecting original art. But he was quite surprised. He's still reading comics. I don't know how. I don't know if he's reading them digitally or what. But has largely sold off his collection, and he always had more of them than I did. So he's reading them, but doesn't feel as compelled to keep them, and he's got some original art, some really nice original art.
Yeah.
And he said it was nice to see that someone's still actually collecting them. I didn't think people really did that anymore. And maybe that's right. And I think digital comics might well be the future of the comic industry, but I'm going to miss long boxes.
Yeah, I will.
I already kind of miss like browsing through back issues in comic shops and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. I didn't realise it was unusual to be this obsessive compulsive about keeping stuff.
Actually, that's what you're meant to be, but maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
You live and learn.
News ambush?
Okay. I got some. Well, you were trying to mouth something really at me. I didn't know what
news ambush!
About. I thought you were saying, I love you.
I thought you were saying he loves me as well, and that's making me feel quite. I feel pretty discombobulated this evening as it is, but.
You don't need me to mouth it to you. I'll tell you it straight out.
I
love you.
Of a few bits. I could have done more research, it's true. Apparently, Becky Cloonan's had a book canned by Marvel before issue one.
Oh, Dr. Young Doom. Yeah.
Oh, Young Doctor Doom, that's
Young Doctor Doom, we were quite excited about that. Her and Nick Spencer.
That's it. I'm glad you bothered reading up these issues.
It was one of those things that ended up being a bit more controversial than it should have been. They ended up being a bit more controversial than it should have been because Bleeding Cool broke a story that possibly needed a bit more research on. Or maybe even was true, but was a bit defamatory. I get the feeling it was largely because Marvel are making cuts left, right, and centre on stuff. And I think the editor for this book was one of the editors that went.
There you go.
But there was there was some blame throwing around a little bit earlier in the week, but most of that's been removed and got rid of and stuff. So, but we were really looking forward to that book.
We were. It's a shame. I like the way that we went in the space of 2 minutes from silently trying to mouth information to each other to your loud and clear answering me when I was pointing at the Thought Bubble brochure that you've got and then pointing to a part of the show when I thought it would be appropriate to talk about it.
I thought I disguised that quite nicely as just a verbal tick, but
it was such a random, yeah, I liked
it. Yeah. He'll save every one of us. I'm still looking forward to... is it Cloonan and Wood are doing Conan?
That's
going to be good. I'll be reading a Conan book for the first time in decades.
I started clearing space on my pull list. Five books I dropped this week.
Mm. I did that last week, didn't I?
A lot for me. I stressed, didn't I? You did, James was with me when I did it. I stressed. And I dropped one that kind of surprised me, I was surprised myself.
How many comics did you end up walking away with this week, though?
Some.
Because I got my standing order after doing the same thing last week, and it was one book, and I found myself looking on the shelves for stuff.
That's kind of why I dropped stuff from my standing order, though, so I want to be looking on the shelves for new stuff. I'll talk about that when I talk about my... Because I picked up stuff I wouldn't necessarily have picked up before. Mm. And hey, here's something to stay tuned for, listener. No DC books from me this week.
Funky daddy.
I know, I can't remember last time that happened. I'm really excited. Next bit of news, Blank Slate Books, Nelson, the multi-collaborator charity book, is out and available to buy from blankslatebooks, all one word, .co.uk. Also, they'll be taking it to Thought Bubble. You'll be able to buy it from there and various conventions, but it's well worth buying. I think it's for a good cause too.
I'm going to be buying me a copy of that at Thought Bubble.
Yeah.
probably.
Right, and the piece of news, really, I should have spoken about previously because it was connected, and I forgot to mention it last week or the week before when it was announced, but Marvel have gone day and date with digital publishing.
Yeah. Sorry, the reason I laughed is I was listening to a podcast the other day where one of the guys... It's a really good podcast, actually, yeah. But one of the guys was...
What's it called?
Inatco Chronicles, I think. Chronicles. It's one of the 5x5 ones. Mm-hmm. And it's really good. Really smart guys. The two hosts, really smart guys doing it. But I almost didn't listen to all of them because in the first one... They don't just talk about comics, they talk about all sorts of stuff. And in the first one, they talked about DC 52. And there was a lot of confirmation bias going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a recap recently, and they were talking about Marvel going day and date and were really hamming it up. Oh, I wonder where they got the idea from. I don't know if you remember that back when DC first announced this, I was like, well... I'm kind of astounded that they haven't, that they're not already, why haven't they not been doing this for a couple of years? So it's like, I don't think Marvel got the idea from DC. I think they were both idiots to not be doing it for the last 2 years.
Someone was always going to move first, weren't they? Someone was always going to blink first. It's fine. I think it's good news.
I think it's great news.
Well done.
It's, retailers are going to have to work out. They're going to have to consolidate or work out what they're doing and stuff. But yeah, I think it's great for the industry in general.
Kind of connected to that as well. Comixology will apparently be preloaded on the Kindle Fire. So a dedicated comics portal or reader will be on the Kindle Fire, which I think is...
That's a good idea.
Kindle Fire colour.
Mm.
Kindle Fire? I've not even heard of that.
It's a new Kindle, yeah. It's colour. It looks very
Does
nice.
Does it have the same paper effect thing, though?
I think so, yeah, but it's just
colour. Oh, my God.
Mm.
That's what I've been waiting
for. Very Kindle Fire looks very cool.
Oh, I think I'm gonna finally have to pop my Kindle cherry.
Yeah, I'm glad I haven't bought an iPad because I think I'll probably pick up a Kindle and then I will probably be thinking about what books do I buy in paper and what books do I buy on the Kindle.
There's nothing like the Kindle. It is
lovely.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's very nice actually. I only saw one for the first time a couple of months ago. I was really impressed.
Except paper. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, but actually, I'll tell you what. Again, maybe I'll talk about this when I talk about my spending order books. It's the frigging glare on some of these high-gloss pages, and the Kindle doesn't really have that. And being able to read under artificial light really genuinely bugs me as a reader.
I agree. And, I mean, I think there's the iPad shininess. In fact, my phone shininess as well immediately cuts. I'm not going to end up reading stuff on them because of that exact thing. But the Kindle cuts through that entirely.
Yeah. And I'm happy to get a dedicated reader rather than the payout for an iPad. iPad's lovely. They're very nice. But after having to play with one, it's not for me.
So. I'll be able to read comics in bed without bugging my wife.
Yeah, totally. It'd be nice.
That's going to be so good.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've ended up resorting to having a video instead, and when you've got as much porn preloaded onto your phone as I have, you don't really want to be watching it in bed next to your wife.
Isn't that funny that you don't have porn on your computer, but you have it on your phone? I find that very strange. You claim not to have porn preloaded onto your computer.
Well, no, I keep most of that on the internet.
Yeah, whereas you have it preloaded on your phone. I find that fascinating. So you like to masturbate on a sort of... You like to... have that there for mobile masturbation, but a home base.
I like masturbating in the cloud.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Actually, you might be going from slightly old information there as well.
Oh, okay, you got some loaded on your computer.
Maybe, right? I don't know.
All right, cool. Anything good that you want to talk about?
No, let's not talk about porn.
No, possibly not. But we should maybe start that review podcast.
Should we do that? I'd be up for that. The research would be enjoyable. Only I'd be able to talk about 5-minute segments. the very final piece of news is something that won't be news to anyone listening to this rather obscure corner of the podcasting internet that you're listening to. So if you listen to us, you almost undoubtedly have listened or do listen to Geek Syndicate. And this week they released the final ever Geek Syndicate podcast. So it's probably 5 years I think the guys did.
Yes.
Together, which
we've done
what, just over 2 years, and in enmity in the room on a weekly
basis. I don't know
how
they can still deal with each other.
By the time we end each week, we pretty much were having physical confrontations with each other, aren't we? So
yeah.
I mean, well done to the guys, and you know, it's obviously very sad.
If you just agreed with the direction I want to take it.
Yeah, but I, you know, I think I'm not comfortable with that, Nick. I don't think there is a market for comics and live animal sacrifice.
No, I think you might be wrong.
Podcasts.
Right.
So I think we'll probably maybe stick to a sort of ramshackled semi-news and review sort of comic book podcast.
I forced you down an improvisation road there, didn't I?
You did really well.
No, I think you did really well.
I almost...
Because we'd already covered porn, so I mean, you couldn't go down that road.
I almost crashed. I was gonna go back to the whole thing about you podcasting wrapped in cling film and us having to grease you to keep you lubricated, but
pretending
I thought,
that you didn't love that would be a bit of a tough sell.
Yeah, I'd be lying. It's amazing you managed it without making lots of creakling noises, which is a word I've just invented.
Occasionally.
For you, Jane.
Thank you.
That's all right, you can have that. Write it in your book.
I will.
What goes in Jane's book?
Words I've invented.
Factoids. Oh, words you've invented.
Words I've invented.
Have you got a book of words he's invented?
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
It'll be worth something one day.
Yeah.
In case that the English language losing IQ points.
Well, no, it'd be worth the price of a book that's used. A used notepad. What's that? It's got to have some sort of monetary worth, isn't
with incoherent words written all over it.
But yes, the Geeks, I mean, obviously the rest of the Geek Syndicate network is still going.
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
So that's good. We've got lots of friends in that.
That's right.
Across that franchise.
We do.
So it's all very exciting.
Particularly Dissecting Worlds. Who Timothy Swan was on, wasn't he, talking about stuff.
Did he break anyone's arm?
With his bloody... Yeah, I bet they didn't do him a song.
No, I bet they didn't.
Yeah, they have him on. You come on our show, you do it three or four times, you get your own song. Well, you can do your own. You can do your own song yourself, I don't get.
And Small Press Big Mouth. That's good. I like that. I was listening to that in the bath the other day.
And all of the other ones. All comes back to 2018. All the other ones, we can't possibly be rude and forget, and we will now. So you can put them in the show notes.
Okay, I'll do that.
But you fucking need to do that.
Yeah.
Just look at the bottom if you're on iTunes. Other subscribers also listened to.
I'm going to check to see if there's any other news.
I also listened to Blast Shields Down, which I don't think we've spoken about on the mic this evening. But that's very good. The film review site that you mentioned last week, I very much enjoyed it.
Yes, it is really good. I like it. We watched a film the other night because of it called Trick and Treat. Trick or Treat.
Hurry up and do that, because this is essentially...
I don't think we've got any more news.
No,
I think that's it for the news. I mentioned being incepted earlier on, and now I've got somebody has filled my at mentions with... Though, as I was walking to meet you guys, it's this city... First, when I first moved to this city, after about a week of being here, I guess, and I didn't know this until a really... Well, being a child of the 80s, as you all know this as well, James, when I hear a siren that sounds like an air raid siren, I assume there's going to be a nuclear bomb dropped on the town.
I struggle with that as well.
For the first 10 or 15 years, I didn't know what that noise was.
Nobody would tell you. You ask, and no one will tell you.
But it's because the boats are coming in, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
And today, as I was walking to come and meet you guys, there was this really... It must have been one of the big boats doing its foghorns, but it was like... And I was like, I'm being incepted. This is... It was a bit freaky.
You make such an attractive face when you do that, Mike.
I was thinking, it's a shame that we don't ever film these anymore.
I know,
that
was
beautiful.
Amazing.
Movember. That's not really news, and it's not really to do with comics. But I'm doing Movember. I'll have posted the link somewhere, but donate money. Because it's for prostates.
Yay.
And if you don't donate money and you've got a prostate, there's a very good chance the thing will just fall apart and drop out of your body.
And the last thing you want is your prostate dropping out your arse.
You do That's not want that.
That's medically impossible, that actually is. But...
Don't apply science, Jane. Okay. Nobody likes a
I won't tell
fact
you how you
person.
Extract a prostate then, okay.
No, don't. Not unless that's the setup for a joke. A really gross joke.
Yeah. Are you taking the prostate?
Is there any more news, James?
I've none. Do any of you have any?
I have no news.
None from me.
Okay, so let's move on to the next point on the agenda.
Spinning orders.
Okay, and it says here, James.
That's you.
Hi. I bought more than this, but I have three books that I'm going to talk about, maybe briefly, maybe not. In fact, probably I'll talk about longer about one of them, because I thought you were going to buy it too, and you didn't. First of all, I bought a book on the recommendation of one of our contributors. Timothy Swan's been talking about Crimson Empire.
He's getting so many name checks today.
He is. We love Timothy Swan. And I've never bought a Star Wars comic before, and always kind of wanted to, and I thought, well, sod it. Crimson Empire 3. The first episode has just come out. I will jump on this. Tim gave a very nice review of it on last week's podcast. You can listen to that if you want to know what happens in it. Briefly, I kind of dug it. It's obviously a universe that... I'm a 36-year-old geek, so obviously I love Star Wars deeply. I have a Star Wars tattoo. Look, there it is on the cover.
Oh, where have you got that?
It's on my shoulder, the Rebel Alliance.
Is there a football
symbol.
One on the other shoulder?
No, same arm.
Oh, okay.
It's my arm of favourite things. I'm going to get some Batman-related shit done on there soon.
When am I going to be on there?
Yeah, soon. I kind of dug it. It's very much of the Star Wars universe. The art was good. Didn't blow me away.
Sometimes it's awesome, but it isn't always awesome.
I think the line works good. I think possibly maybe the... I don't know. Something makes it feel a little bit flat, and I don't want to blame the colourist, but it didn't blow me away. But it is very good, and it tells the story very well. You can recognise lots of characters from the original Star Wars series. It's nice to see Princess Leia, nice to see Luke. I'm kind of just repeating things that Tim said. It was okay. The only thing that kind of worries me about books like this is maybe a sort of lazy sort of storytelling, because you're so familiar with the subject matter that you can almost, stories can be told in almost like a kind of shorthand.
Yeah.
You know, but no, it's interesting and intriguing enough. I will probably pick up the rest of the series, and certainly will check out Crimson Empire 1 and 2.
It's funny, Paul Galassi, who does the artwork, is one of those artists who was incredibly influential and I think probably quite famous in the 1970s and 80s that I just never really got into. So I know what you mean. But I think the problem with franchise books, licensed books, is they kind of know that they've got an audience already. The likenesses are okay, but they know that they've got an audience already, so they don't go for high art, because if anything, you might end up excluding or losing the fans who come to it who aren't really interested in comics. They're interested in the thing.
Yeah, and like I say, without wanting to kick the colourist under the bus, I kind of think the colouring leaves it a little flat rather than the line work.
But you like getting that glimpse at the original trilogy, the other facet of that.
I do, but is there a Star Wars geek alive that did not play out events after Return of the Jedi in their bedrooms using Star Wars figures?
Yeah,
1,000 times. I've told the story in my mind of what happened after Return of the Jedi, so it's kind of interesting to see.
The amount of times I've been Jabba the Hutt being throttled to death by Princess Leia in my dreams. I didn't even really like her in that outfit. I'm just playing up to the stereotype. But
I kind of preferred a New Hope Princess Leia myself.
I liked her really tomboyish outfits. I think I've said this before. I liked her in Bespin.
So like the Hoth outfit when she's,
And on Endor, before she lets her hair down.
Yeah, definitely.
I really liked her in that.
Yeah, totally.
I like her best when she looks like an adolescent boy. I think that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure. With a bun.
Your hair's getting quite long.
Yeah, my wife said that the other day. But when she said it, had even more accusation in it than the way you just said
I just realised you look a bit like Ron Jeremy.
Oh my god, I'm not. He's like a little troll man.
No, just the long curly hair and the tash. And I was a bit like...
Do you think I should, because I had a tash like this last year, do you think I should cut it back to more of a Tom Selleck thing when it starts getting a bit more bushy? I might just go for a top lip moustache.
I'd like to see you go with a nice waxed...
I might not have enough time this year because it might not get big enough. But anyway.
Next up is Jennifer Blood 6, which is the end of the run. I think the end of Ennis's run. I'm sure other writers are picking up Jennifer Blood from here on in. Dynamite, $3.99, Garth Ennis, and Cuba Ball. So basically this wraps up the story of Jennifer avenging her father's death. Her father was part of a mafia family who was bumped off by... by his brothers, and she, as a young woman, managed to go missing, managed to escape the family, has invented this secret life for herself where she's basically a very sort of apple pie mum living a very ordinary existence, but at night she's become this avenging angel that's taking her father's brothers out, mm-hmm. one by one. And the final issue is basically her sitting down with her dying final uncle and basically spilling her guts out to him and telling him exactly how she did it and why she did it, which is plays out well. There's lots of C words. There should be. It's Garth Ennis,
yeah.
And it's a violent story. So, you know, it's liberal use of the word, and you can insert it there yourself. Yeah. What this comic probably should have on the front is warning: contains penis.
It's got a penis in. We saw there is, that,
but it's very funny. Her neighbour, who's very much into S&M, catches up with her while she's on the job as well, which leads to some Ennis-style hilarity with penises wobbling about and so forth.
Carry on. Sorry.
It wraps the story up in very satisfying fashion, leaves enough at the end for the series to continue if needs be. I'm not entirely convinced I'll carry on reading more. I might have a flick through the next issue to see what it's like, but I've really enjoyed this six-part story. I'd be happy to walk away from Jennifer's life now. There's lots of things they haven't necessarily wrapped up, but they've wrapped up enough to make it a very rounded, very enjoyable, very bloody, very silly, violent action comic.
Mm.
And it's kind of doing what he does very, very well, I think.
The penis is nerve-wracking. Have you been?
I was very shocked by Jane's assertion that she thought it was very small when it just looks like a normal inert penis to
it's
me.
Quite big, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
It looks like a perfectly decent size in that penis.
Have you carried on reading Butcher Baker?
I think she's a sake. Do you know what? I've got about three I haven't read at the moment.
When you catch up, it is still really satisfying, but there's a lot of schlong in that.
Yeah.
My favourite thing is there's Stanley's How to Write comics, but underneath it there's Stanley's How to Draw comics, which I find interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't know if he does draw. I don't think he's ever drawn a
but I think
comic.
I think he's hung about with some artists, so, you know, he probably knows what. The guy's been in the industry for a couple of years, he's probably got a fair idea of what he's talking about.
Stanley's How to Draw Bath.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, no, he says here, Stanley's How to Draw a Bath limited edition hardcover.
There you go, see? I know stuff. It's there, it's all there in the back of my, it just as it occurs to me. Oh, you've got
three books, I said, there's only two.
I wasn't keeping
Jennifer Blood will undoubtedly, Dynamite are pretty good about getting their trades and hardbacks out, so that'll collect quite nicely.
They're good at getting them out, I don't know how well distributed they are, but yeah, you'll be able to get it on Amazon, if not NFFP,
Or you could ask your retailer to order it for you. It's well worth it.
But retailers lie.
I've been saying for a while that I'd quite like to get into Spider-Man books. It's finding a jumping on point. I said I'd probably pick up Dan Slott's Amazing Spider-Man once Spider Island ends. Mm. But out this week from Marvel Comics, written by Zeb Wells, with art by Joe Duria and Ferran Daniel.
Joe Mad, okay, yep.
Yeah, and Ferran Daniel is Avenging Spider-Man number one.
That seems bizarre.
$3.99. The purchase includes a free digital copy offer.
What's the story, Tobey Mori?
It's there's some sort of conflict at the beginning. I'm not sure if it relates to events of Fear Itself or Spider Island or what. But mid-battle, Spider-Man realises he needs to go home because as the London Marathon, as New York Marathon is taking place, a load of Mole Man's minions descend on, not the Brooklyn Bridge, is it? New York Bridge.
A bridge in New York.
So he and the Red Hulk hot foot it back to New York to go and kick ass and take some names. And the comic is essentially a fun, action-orientated comic book ride.
In continuity?
It's hard to tell because I don't follow Spider-Man. I'm not reading that many Marvel books.
The Hulk's red in it, isn't he?
He's the Red Hulk, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess it must be in continuity.
Yeah, I mean, the only Marvel book what I read The Punisher, I read Fantastic Four, FF, sorry.
FFF.
So most of that sort of been untouched by Fear itself. FF tends to sit alone, I think mostly because of the way the movies work, isn't it? Marvel don't own the rights to the movies. I've always assumed they sit outside the Avengers for the most part because Marvel can't include them in the Avengers movie.
Is this going to be like their team up?
I get the impression that it is going to be like he will be teaming up with
different
characters, and there's a lovely double splash page where you get a little explanation as to Spider-Man, a little explanation as to Red Hulk is doing what I always think Marvel do brilliantly in terms of every book could be someone's first book, and that's the way they present them, which I think is lovely. But it's just really good fun, really sort of lively, well written. Really crisp, snappy dialogue written as I kind of want to read Spider-Man. Very much enjoy Jonah Jameson.
Is he the mayor in it?
He is the mayor in it.
Yeah, okay, it's in continuity.
I like it. He starts that. Do you mind if I read a little bit of dialogue? Because it's really funny.
Fine.
He's the mayor. He's starting the New York Marathon. And he's got the starter's gun. He said, "Let's get this over with so you jog hippies can get back to dressing like normal human beings." jog hippies is very amusing.
Hippies.
The art, I think, is really cool. I absolutely dug it. It's really lovely.
Joe Maggiore, it's interesting to see him actually finish a book, because he was very popular in the late 90s, early noughties, but he's also famous for not really finishing stuff.
But great art, great colour. It just zips along. It was so much fun. I put this book down. This is going straight on my spinning, not my standing order.
Zeb Wells is a lot of fun, though, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. It is just so much fun. It is like a really nice little sort of comic book adrenaline hit. This is pretty much everything I want a superhero comic to be. It's not too heavy. There's some action in it. There's some really funny dialogue. You know, I like a heavy moving storyline from time to time, but this is a really tasty little sort of sugar rush of a book. You know, absolutely loved it. And I think Spider-Man's kind of like the perfect character to do those little hits with anyway, isn't he? He's wisecracking, lends himself to it.
Worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Well, and all of the other characters in the Marvel Universe know him, and he's got a history with nearly all of them, hasn't he? So, worth mentioning is, I think, there's literally today or maybe yesterday, there was a trade released of not the Spider-Island stuff, but the stuff immediately preceding Spider-Island, and there were some good issues in that. So, by Dan Slott, as you mentioned wanting to jump into that at some point.
Next issue, I'm on that.
Yeah. This is another slight gripe I had with the most recent episode of the podcast I was talking about. And you'll be able to see the funny side of this. I noticed that in the back of that issue, there was also... and we bitch about this quite a lot. But there was also the 2, 4, 6 page preview of the Cable story, the Avengers X Sanction thing that they're trailering. It was in the back of your comic. It was in the back of the comic I bought. One of the complaints that the man... on the podcast made was of Marvel being like really cynical and really screwing the pooch on this stuff was they charge you such and such for a comic, you know, they put these comics out and they put a preview for like several pages in the back of the thing. I mean, that's really like basically saying that's quite cynical, etc, etc, etc. DC do that so much.
Yeah, no,
they do it so much.
And it doesn't bother me. I don't feel like I'm shortchanged because I read a lot of DC books, and that Joker book has been previewed in pretty much all of them. I don't feel shortchanged because I still get the story ahead of it. I'm not that bothered. You know, all right, that's a $3.99 book, okay? But I don't feel necessarily like I've been screwed over because there's advertising in the
paper. I think it's very much an old comics way of handling things, though. Even if you don't feel ripped off, and I don't, I agree. I kind of agree. Even if you don't feel ripped off by it, it's when you buy, and you'll notice it more in DC books than you do in Spider-Man books. There's a point at which you have so much extra paper that you're carrying home that is the same thing repeated over that is probably also on loads of websites online.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's kind of like...
I have to say, though, Avenging Spider-Man, there might be that preview, no advertisement pages.
Really? That's very good.
In the rest of the book, so...
I don't even mind adverts that much if there aren't too many of them, though.
Because
there used to be quite a major part of comics. There used to be a little thing that said continued on third page following or something.
They're so mundane though. They're for cars and boring stuff now.
They are. They're very blokey.
Or they tell you not to do drugs, and I don't need my comic books to tell me what to do and what not to do. What did you get, Nick?
I only got one actual comic that came out this week, and also I picked up, because it's always worth mentioning this, that our RFP at the moment is always worth looking to see what they've got reduced, because I picked up a Scary Godmother trade paperback for very, very cheap, and I like Scary Godmother. Jill Thompson is one of the greats. She's very, very awesome. And I also got Frankenstein's Womb, the Warren Ellis thing, which you might have already, because you love Warren Ellis.
I haven't read it, no.
It's pretty, but it's also only $1.99, so I got that. That was lovely. I bought Journey into Mystery. Now, I've quite liked the Spider Island crossover. I've talked about this a lot. Mm-hmm. I've quite liked the Spider Island crossover, and I might have enjoyed the Fear Itself story if I bothered picking up the central thing, but I really didn't like the way so many major things were happening to major characters, but not in the ongoing books. I think the biggest problem with the X-Men crossovers has been, in recent years, has been that you can't continue a thread just reading one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that like just reading one of the titles. And a big problem for me with Fear Itself was that I was buying The Mighty Thor and I was buying Journey into Mystery. Journey into Mystery was interweaving very closely with Fear Itself, but was handling it really well. But The Mighty Thor had, I don't think it's a spoiler to say it anymore, but if you haven't been reading any of the Marvel books, stop listening for about 5 seconds. Thor dies, but it doesn't happen in The Mighty Thor. So you're reading an issue of The Mighty Thor. The culmination of one of the stories is it happens between issues, and it happens in Fear Itself, but what you get in his own book is a recap. Which I think is kind of, and I mean, I've taken it as an opportunity to pull back from some of the books I wasn't I wasn't really enjoying so much because of the crossover. I was loving Invincible Iron Man, I was loving The Mighty Thor right up until the point that this started happening, and it kind of made me realise, well, I'm not so bothered that I'm going to go buy Fear Itself, so I'm obviously not that bothered, so I stopped. Journey into Mystery, I was kind of thinking about stopping. I've stopped reading Generation Hope because Kieran Gillen's off it, and it seems like a good time.
Yeah.
New Mutants had a nice dropping off point. I was thinking about it with Journey into Mystery, but I love Young Loki, or Loki. The way Kieran Gillen writes him, or just the way the character is, I just really, really like him. He was one of the best things about the last few issues of The Mighty Thor. And I kind of thought, as with New Mutants, I thought, well, I'll read one more. I'll see what the first issue after the Aftermath issue is like. And this does have a recap of Fear Itself.
Mm-hmm.
It says this is a serious recap page. It tells you exactly what's happened in Asgard, because Asgard, again, this has all happened off camera.
Yeah.
Asgard's completely changed. Odin's gone.
Ooh.
I won't say how or why, because, you know, that might not be common knowledge yet. Asgard's gone. A few things have changed in Asgard. There's new leadership there. And Loki basically saved the day. Basically saved the day over the last few heist issues of you know, the last story was pretty much a heist story, but okay. he pulled together a team of unlikely characters and pulled off this amazing scam. Mm. And this is basically showing he also did a few things that he really wasn't supposed to do, mm-hmm. to do that. And this issue is basically the aftermath of that, sending all of the particularly nasty people that he ended up employing back to, you know, it's how he dealt with them, how he dealt with what he promised them, and also how he deals with the fact that, as far as Asgard's concerned, he's basically broken an awful lot of rules. I just love the way Kieran Gillen writes this book. I probably prefer it to his mutant stuff, and his mutant stuff he writes really well. So, whilst Portacio, I wasn't that fond of. He was one of the Image artists of years ago that I wasn't that fond of. Because a lot of his people are very sinewy and scary. They look a little bit like they've been skinned, which I find a bit strange.
Yeah.
It's fine if they're supposed to have been skinned, but you know, otherwise it's a bit weird. But I don't mind it so much because the colourist does, and the inkers do an awful lot of good work on making this a good looking book regardless. Mm-hmm. But I just really like young Loki. I like seeing what, because his character's kind of, I'm interested in seeing where he goes. He's just a really fun character. He's got this really, like, bad legacy, mm-hmm. where everyone basically remembers him as the old, you know, remembers the old Loki. And at the same time, he's kind of got this innate thing in his nature where he can't do things the straight way. Mm-hmm. Even if he's trying to help, mm-hmm. he's kind of, the only way he really knows how to help is by conning people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I quite like characters like that. I quite like it when the only way you can really get the job done is by breaking a few rules. But only the little rules, you know what I mean?
Sure.
By telling some lies, but for the greater good. I quite like that.
White lies.
Lesser white lies.
Like I said, I'm not massively enamoured of the art because a lot of Will Spataccio's characters do look very similar to each other. But I think this is going to be my Asgard, but I don't think I'm going to go back to the Mighty Thor, as gorgeous and nicely written as it is, because the art is amazing on that other book. Journey into Mystery, I'm still liking it. And this is probably a good enough time to jump onto it, actually.
Thanks, I really enjoyed that review.
Yeah.
Why did you make a face then?
It's a white lie.
It's a white lie.
You didn't enjoy the review.
No, I hated every minute of it.
He didn't really enjoy it, he just enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Or maybe he just really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I love your reviews, Nick. That's why I stay quiet for them. If I didn't like them, I'd just talk all over you and...
I could see your face, so I know that's not true.
But our friendship dynamic is very different, Jane.
You're much less needy than I am.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the truth.
I'm sure it is true.
Mother Hubbard, I was perfectly segueing into something, then I just despise you.
You obviously weren't perfectly.
I hate you.
I didn't mean it, Jane. I'm sorry.
You're like the Loki of this podcast.
Yeah.
You're like the
Ben Grimm of this podcast, and it's clobbering time.
Mom stuff. Comic live one, open bracket, close bracket.
Mom comic first, I think, because that's on December the 3rd.
Okay, I'm just reading what it says here.
All right, sorry.
He's being literal.
On the 3rd, David Wynne is joining up with us to do the Twitter comic. The Twitter comic will happen with people sending us in tweets that suggest plot or dialogue based on one of the scenarios that you will either suggest or vote on, hopefully, please, by visiting the website at...
moncomics.com.
Cool. If you go there, brief explanation about what we're doing, and then you can submit a scenario for us to start a story, and in a week or so's time, we will allow people to vote on that. The... scenario that receives the most votes, we'll start with that, and then on December the 3rd we'll ask you on Twitter to guide David's hand and tell us where this story should go, and hopefully by the end of it we'll have something that resembles a comic book.
It should resemble a comic book because David can draw.
It looked like one because David, yeah, David's an excellent artist. He's an excellent drawer, but he's an excellent artiste. And then second date for your diaries, if you are in Southampton or nearby, we'd love you to come down to Forbidden Planet and join with us as we do the Moncast Review of the Year 2011. That's the 22nd of December. It'll be sort of around about 5 o'clock in the afternoon that we'll do it. But yeah, and that'd be good.
Oh, well, we got a live one.
That's quite right. Batman. David will be there too.
He will, won't he?
Yeah.
How are we paying for him to come down?
I don't know. Would no.
No. Let's I'll just cut say that out.
Yeah, fucking hell. Definitely can't afford that. We've got Christmas coming up.
Oh, don't say that.
So that'd be good. And thank you very much to FP and the guys at FP for sorting this out for them. We're very grateful. Because we're looking forward to it. So it'd be good.
Yes.
And I believe next weekend you guys are doing something interesting, aren't you?
We are.
You guys. We are. Yes, we are.
We're going up north.
We are where the northerners are.
And I don't mean north as in Basingstoke, because I get told off for calling that being north.
That's
north,
Scotland. That's North Hampshire.
That's north of here. We're going north.
Peterborough.
That's scary. We're going to Leeds.
Leeds. What's happening in Leeds?
We're going to a festival.
A festival?
Fucking hippies.
Yeah.
Not that sort of festival, you dump cough.
We're going to Thought Bubble.
Thought Bubble. That's where we're going. Have you had a chance to look at your...
I haven't had a chance to look. I did pick one up yesterday.
There's, you can find the booklets. Most of the comic shops, there's really loud noise outside. Most of the comic shops
it's
have
an aeroplane, Nicholas.
Stupid, weird devil plane.
I hope the wheels stay on.
Why? It doesn't need the wheels to stay up there.
No, but it's probably good the wheels stay on.
Yeah, well, when you want to come down, it's really fucking handy.
Yeah.
I'm wearing my Lost t-shirt. This amuses me, because we're talking about a plane outside.
we're talking about a plane, yet this is a car crash.
It's a bit too soon. Too soon, James. But it's going to be exciting. There are loads of people there. There's a list.
Yeah.
I'm going to read from the list. The guests of honour are Tim Sale, Adam Hughes, Jeff Lemire, and Gail Simone. Mowell's going to be there.
Yeah, did you not know that?
I didn't know that.
Ah, yes, there are lots of exciting people.
And a whole bunch of other people. But Mowell's going to be there. That is so exciting.
Should we just sit here in silence and watch Nick read the
booklet? Nick should have read that before. That's why I didn't bring it, because I hadn't read it.
Yeah, he's a naughty boy.
But I really like how excited he's getting. Yes, guys, we're going to be there.
Where are you guys staying?
We're staying at the Bewley's Hotel.
Cool.
We'll be there from Friday mid-afternoon till Monday morning. That's the 18th through to the 21st of November.
So should people come and say hi to
you? Yes, please. Please come say hi. It's going to be really weird not having James and Christine from the other Murdoch papers with us this year.
It's going to be awful.
It is. I was actually...
That's a white lie, isn't
it? It was a bit weird thinking that James wasn't going to be there. And then I was thinking how excited I was this time last year. And I'm like, oh, Christine's not going to be there. That's going to be so strange.
That is going to be bad. Yeah. Christine not being there is going to be bad.
Yes, say hello to us. We'll be at the convention on Saturday and Sunday.
And hasn't Nick devised a way of Momcast listeners identifying the coolest tables in the exhibition room?
Have I? What have I done?
If you look on... Look for the tables that have cards with Momcast written on them, and that way you know that they are the coolest people in the exhibition hall.
We haven't sorted out plans for things, but you know, if you want to come have a chat or do an impromptu, spontaneous, wonderful interview about something, we can do that. Or we can just drink and
contribution.
Eat
and do a contribution.
Yeah, if you want to do a contribution. If you just want to rub Nick's tummy,
buy something for me because I can't be there. Can do that if you want.
That's already been done for you, though, isn't it?
All right.
Where is the Bewley? It's quite. I can't remember. Get off my mat.
I want it.
It's quite near the. It's quite
it's
near the Marriott.
It's not too
isn't
far.
It?
Yeah, it's not too okay. far. It's quite near the what? Sorry.
The is it the Marriott or the actual yeah. convention?
They're the same distance away from the.
Added poignancy this year as well, being in Savile Hall just after Sir Jimmy passed away.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Did you see the picture of Sir Jimmy and introducing Frank Bruno to Peter Sutcliffe?
No,
was
I did
doing
not.
The rounds earlier
oh,
in the
wow.
week. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
He was
not
wanting
to cast aspersions or anything.
No, he raised an awful lot of money for charity and made an awful lot of children's dreams come true.
He probably felt he had to atone for something.
I don't agree at all. I suspect he led a blameless life.
Well, now we'll never know.
That's true.
So that's Thought Bubble, guys.
It's going to be ace.
We know that some of you are going, and we would really like to say hi.
Totally. I don't know what I'm saying totally. I'd like to say hi too, but I'll be stuck in Hampshire.
So,
oh, are you not going?
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
You're going to be miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and miles
we'll
and some
way.
More miles yeah. away. That's a bit weird.
Why are we talking about this now, though? We should be talking to James about this next Thursday. Mere 12 hours before we actually leave for
yes,
Thought Bubble.
Because if you do that, then people will be listening after Thought Bubble's over. There's more chance of catching people prior to Thought Bubble if we do it this week, you silly, silly man.
Why is he flapping his mouth?
We'll remind you guys next week.
Yeah. Becky Cloonan's
going. Even though if you're going to Thought Bubble, it's odds on you'll be listening to next week's podcast after you've been the Thought Bubble.
Be listening to it on the
you
train.
You two just don't
you
think, do you? What would you do without
it from
me?
Your table.
They'll be listening
so the whole
on the train.
Of everyone can hear yeah. it. The whole of everyone, not half of everyone.
I guess we'll find out next Friday what we'll do without you, James.
Yeah, but
because we're going to Thought Bubble.
Cock off. Seriously, look out for the cards with Momcast on it. I'll pick one up from the tables and say to whoever's got one, you, sir, are a golden god.
I'm building up to, basically, I know this isn't how karma works, but basically I'm building up enough bad karma by teasing you about this that will, something will happen
don't,
to our train.
Don't.
Nick!
What?
Seriously?
Oh, no, it's okay, we'll be fine. Now that I've invoked it, it won't happen.
If anything happened to you two, this podcast will be slightly shorter than it is now. So, you know.
I have never, none of my predictions have ever been right yet.
That's true.
For all either of you know.
Well, I hope you have a really good time. Next year I will go and I'm going to cosplay as Captain Haddock.
Ooh.
Yes!
I've actually been looking out for jumpers. I really genuinely intend to do it.
He's got
You'd
the
be brilliant.
I fucking love
it.
Haddock so much. The older I get, the more I love him too.
He gets really loud when he's drunk. Why is
Lucky Luke here? Right. Oh, Cinebook are there again.
Those people.
I fucking love Cinebook.
You fucking love them. Spotlight, James. Spotlight.
Spotlight.
We need a theme tune for Spotlight, James. We need a Spotlight theme.
It's the Spotlight. Here it is. Here's the Spotlight. Here's Jane.
Thank you, James.
That's brilliant.
That was brilliant.
He's made it so that he has to perform it every week.
Maybe
though.
We should get him to pre-record it with our names.
Here's
Nick.
Here's James. Anyway, Jane, what are you going to talk to us about?
I'm going to talk about Army at Love.
I always found the title to that a little bit weird.
It is weird. Because it should be so... I don't know what it should be. It
should be old, really.
Yeah.
Or...
Well, that's not... Come to that. Because that's not a story.
Army so, Love.
I
Army
think Love. It's a very clever title.
It is a very clever title once you've read the book. Written and pencilled by Rick Veitch.
Yeah.
Veitch. I said it right yesterday and didn't even have to think about it.
Was there a recording of you saying it yesterday?
No,
we'll edit it in.
No.
Oh.
No, I just said it because I can say stuff when I'm not being recorded.
Oh, okay.
And
you're like Schrodinger's Jane.
Colours by Gary
Erskine.
Hmm?
Yes. And I know a little bit about these two people because I had a look on Wikipedia.
Wikipedia!
Because I had not heard of them. Although they were vaguely... recognisable.
Met Gary Erskine.
And I was
going to
say, I know that you guys have spoken about him. So Rick, we know from Swamp Thing.
He did some art. I think he might have written it for a while, but
yep,
I'm not sure.
He wrote it for a while, and he's worked a lot with Alan Moore. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I thought that was a that that was a note of interest.
No, that is interesting.
I think, well, no, I think it is, because it hasn't Alan Moore, he's written, no, it's gone.
He's only worked with about seven people.
Yeah.
In the whole of comics, so that is noteworthy.
Yeah.
And he's doing the current run of Aquaman.
That's, oh, is he writing that?
Right? That's what Wikipedia said. And I
the first issue was...
I know, but he must have, like, when they were doling out the jobs for the DC 52, that is the short straw.
I thought Aquaman. Dan Didio or someone was writing
that. Or maybe I've got that wrong. This was Wikipedia, so I did...
No, I think Jane's right.
And Gary Erskine, we know from 2018.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, he did the art for Flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Did he do a run on Flesh? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I thought I'd mention those bits.
No, I don't think he did the most recent one, but he has.
No, yeah, I know he has. I know you guys really enjoyed it, so I just thought I'd mention that.
He's good.
And you can see Flesh now on the TV, can't you, if you watch Terra Nova?
Is it basically the same story?
Yeah,
well, I didn't think it was as violent.
No, probably not.
Okay, Army at Love was recommended to me by Life Partner Steve.
Thank you, Life Partner
I believe Life Partner Steve might have actually bought me the first trade of that.
This is the first trade.
That isn't my one, though.
No, it's not.
Because mine isn't signed.
This is Life Partner Steve's.
Mm.
Okay, the basis of the story is it's set... I think the first run ran from 2007 to 2009, then there was a second run, which apparently is not very good, but I haven't actually checked it out. So this was going on in the height of the Middle Eastern wars that are coming to an end.
Yeah, or... Afghanistan and Iraq. Yeah. Well, maybe.
Well, yeah, who knows? They say, but we don't know.
We're pulling out, but quite often we say that. And what we mean is we'll stick around for just a little bit longer to see how much of a mess we can make. I might not be talking about war.
No.
Oh, a little bit of sex there.
That's sorry, cheap Jane. Seats carry in on. The back.
That was a bit cheap.
And it's set, it always says it's set in a few years in the future. Basically, they've gone to a fiction place called, oh God, I can't remember now.
Let's call it Iranistan.
No, that's close.
Iranistan sounds like a...
I think it's Abegistan, they call it.
Yeah, that'd be it.
Abegistan? That sounds really horrible.
Afbagistan.
How did I forget that?
That sounds just as horrible.
No, Afbagistan. Which, obviously, you can kind of take an educated guess.
That's a fairly deliberately very cheeky.
Yeah. And the unit we're following has had severe problems and really failed missions, and they've had high casualties, and it's basically a mess. The army have sunk so much money in that they're actually become bankrupt almost. They need a cash injection. So what's happened is this one unit that was performing particularly poorly, they've got corporate sponsorship. So the army, and this is a corporate sponsorship, and developed a motivational and morale team to build up the, to get more people to recruit, to enlist, and to get better outcomes when they go out to fight. Basically, that is a massive frat party.
Mm.
Orgy. Pretty much. They make a big thing about women being allowed into the army, and then the fact that they let them go on, they go on these wild, like, spring break type holidays when they're doing their rest and recuperation. And it's just wild, naked sex parties and things like that.
GI's gone wild, James.
Pretty much. They're allowed mobile phones while they're in combat. So they're allowed to talk to their mum and their partners while they're doing
probably
it.
Probably post stuff on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, they're not allowed to. Everything is very closely monitored. So nothing. This is such a successful pilot of the scheme they're trying to pull off, but they can't let any of this get out, because obviously if the general public know that they're just going and having massive parties, it will cause a lot of problems for everybody. So that's the premise of the story. And in this first arc, we follow a couple of main characters and their lives. It's all very mundane. It's all not mundane. It's all very superfluous to actually what it's about. It's just to get an example of what it's like in the army for a different sort of type of people. I started reading this, and Life Partner Steve turned around and said, "You're sighing a lot," And that's because effectively the first issue, so the first couple of pages, the first issue and a half, is just sex. And just it's all very stupid, but it hasn't really explained itself to start off with. And it is a satirical book. Yes, James, you're going to enjoy some of the pages on that. It's a satirical book. Mm. It's supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, but I didn't get that impression when I first started reading it.
Yeah.
Because you don't learn about the motivation of morale, you don't learn about anything until a bit later on in the book, where it's sort of explained to you as a character explained to someone else. We follow, there's a female army officer, I don't know what the correct term is, and there's a male one. We follow different characters and their home lives. And you find out that everything's all sort of entwined, where sort of the people back home that they've left, their husbands and stuff. There's one female character now, I can't remember her first name. She is basically very, very promiscuous and sleeping with anything that moves. But she's a reverend's daughter. She's married. She's got a husband back home. And, you know, and the way this starts is that she basically has sex with another guy in actual war zone, and they get blown up, and it's supposed to be, they call it the Hot Zone Club. And she made it up just to have sex with this guy while they're in combat.
Yeah.
But it's all things that, you know, they just get away with. The unfortunate thing was she was on the phone to her husband just as the strike, just as, you know, she was hotting up with this guy. So he's heard everything. And this sparks the story in the book that they need to find out if he's heard anything. The commanding officer knows her from back home. His wife used to work with her before she joined the army. But his wife is sleeping with her husband. So it's all, and about the loneliness, it's all very inbred, a bit like, I said, God, this is like a Jeremy Carl episode. And
yeah.
It gets very, very, very silly. And it is supposed to be tongue-in-cheek. It is a poke at the war, it's a poke at the army, it's a poke at the American view, it's a poke
at
American...
Sounds like they're all having a poke at each other.
Yeah, they are. Mm. You know, a poke at the corporation, the fact that there's, it's all being owned by big, you know, companies, and they've all got sponsorship on their things, and it's all very ridiculous. It took me a little while to warm to it. It did take the first
couple... You push through it, don't you?
Yeah.
That's kind of... And yeah, I mean... But you ultimately liked it, yeah?
Yeah, overall, that's what I'm supposed to say. Overall, it did take me a little while, but it's not the sort of thing I would have gone for. And what I have to say is I did ask someone else to recommend this to me, and it's obviously based on what they enjoyed. And it is tongue-in-cheek. It's very silly. Lots of stupid things happen. It's also wildly different to what it is in reality, that it's just a nice joke, really. It is just one big joke, the book. It's a nice joke about the army. But
is that the same sort of irreverence that, say, sort of like a MASH does, that sort of,
you
know, war-based satire?
Yeah.
I liked, when I read it, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the technique and everything that had gone into it. I quite liked some of the writing and some of the art. But I actually found the satire a little bit too heavy-handed for me to really connect with it, because it was satire kind of works best when it's almost believable, and they've taken the idea and they've kind of taken it just that bit too far almost.
Yeah, in some parts it really does, in some parts it flows. It's just got some real dark humour in it, and you just think, actually, you know, I actually, you know, laughed out loud at some parts were very funny, but in other bits it wasn't so much. I don't know if this was of its time, as in what was actually happening during the war, if that might have sort of provoked...
I think they kind of extrapolated. I think the war kind of overtook it a little bit. I don't know if it came out before the Abu Ghraib stuff, where we found out that actually it was a bit of a... I'm not sure if it kind of was around the same time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where there actually was that... we found out that actually the actual consequences of sending young people, filling young, maybe not always that well-educated young people with this kind of jingoistic attitude and sending them out there, dehumanising them, dehumanising the victims. It's kind of... The thing is, there's a lot of that soap opera stuff that you mentioned in there. You describing it again reminds me, there's a lot of that soap opera stuff.
It is soap opera, yeah.
And I always find for that stuff to work, you kind of... They can't all be horrible people. Whereas, did you find you connected with any of the characters?
Oh, because, God, no, no.
Because I really struggled with that. And that's the thing, isn't it? I find it quite difficult to push through something.
That's what I struggled with at the beginning. I knew it was going to be... I was pre-warned that it's a satire. It's just silly, tongue-in-cheek. But because I don't read anything like that normally, it's quite hard. I expect when I start reading it is go, right, okay, this is this person, that's that person, and this is what's happening to them, and I like them, but I don't like them, and I want this to happen, or this is going to... You know, you already start plotting stuff in your head as your imagination runs with what you think is going to happen. Whereas this, it's just like... It's just reading a big, long joke, almost. It's just... It's like watching an episode of The Simpsons or something. It's not... You know, you're not going to connect with any of the characters. You just sort of laugh at them and they're doing so stupid. But... There are some really quite funny running jokes in it. I'm trying to remember the band. There's a very international, world-famous band that the corporation actually own called Paco Lip Sync. And they've got one song that's ultra annoying that is played on everyone's phone all throughout the book. And the group are assigned to sort of protect the band because they're going to play
they're going to be playing in a war zone, aren't they?
Yeah. So they're going to protect them, and then it goes a bit wrong, and there's outbreak in the crowd. So they get them out, and then there's a blimp that goes over and they start shooting everyone. So they shoot the blimp down. And I'm not going to spoil it too much, but it all gets very, very silly, very carry on about things. And it is. It's a mixture of slapstick, satire, dark humour. Mm. And I think you're right. It's definitely for a particular taste and humour. And I think when it does satire, sometimes it doesn't quite hit it. But when it does, it is actually quite funny. So...
I do really like Gary Erskine, and I think Rick Veitch is quite a smart writer, so he's probably thought quite hard about everything that goes in there, but it is quite a cold and heavy-handed sort of approach. The other thing, I'm just wondering, I'm trying to spell...
Art reminded me a little bit of Ryan Kelly's early work on American Virgin, and who's the artist on The Boys?
Derek Robinson. Yeah. Robertson.
Well, Russ Broughton at the moment, but yeah, Derek Robinson.
There's a mixture of those two styles, which is quite
funnily good. Enough, I think American Virgin was around at the same... It's the same era of Vertigo. They might not have been out at the same time. I'm just checking. Yeah, to try and place this, you said it ran from about 2001, 2002?
Oh, no, 2007. I think it was later.
Yeah, 2007.
Was it that much later?
I think it was.
You should listen back.
Okay. I just misunderstood.
Well, that's what I said. I don't know if that's actually correct, but...
I'm sure it is.
I misunderlistened.
You misunderlistened?
I shall have
How
a look.
How do you underlisten?
It's really easy to do.
You don't, or you do.
You've been in plenty of meetings where people have, I'm sure.
Actually mentally commit suicide.
This is actually happening. You two are both looking at your phones.
No,
I'm checking.
Are you checking?
I'm completely wrong.
I'm going to fling you out the window see if I can make that building go down.
So this is way post Abu Ghraib and a long time after books like Transmetropolitan and stuff like that. Starts a decade after, but it's about 5 years after Transmet finished.
It's silly. It's a silly comic. I mean, this at the time on the back here, it's £7.99. I'm sure it's not very expensive now. It's a Vertigo book.
It's not. I mean, it's interesting. It's really interesting.
It is, and it's
the art and writing's really good.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe worth looking at as well to sort of see where comic satire was at and how people were thinking about the war come 2007. I guess.
Yeah, that's maybe. It's a very nice slice of time in those sort of areas, looking at it from those points of view. It is crazy. It is very crazy. If you just want something that's really silly, give it a go, definitely. Mm.
And it's printed on that really satisfying Vertigo
matte paper, yeah.
Like that. Did you enjoy me and Nick had a little bit of a geeky fact off there?
Did we?
Little passive aggressive. Yeah, about 10 years. Well, actually, I think we're fine.
I wasn't being passive aggressive. I love sharing knowledge.
I saw you give Nick sex eyes, and then Nick gave you a sex wink.
Well, the thing is, as soon as we did it, I just wanted to kiss him.
Yeah. Oh, that would explain it. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you can't say this book is boring. There's so much. The panels are jammed packed. Thanks, I won't.
Could you say it's not boring?
They're all jam packed. There's no sort of. There isn't a lonely panel in here at all. Everything's always got some loads of chaotic things going on.
Don't humanise panels, because now whenever I read a comic, I'm going to be worrying lonely about panels. The panels. Lonely panels.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's the loneliest panel I've ever seen. This panel looks dejected and depressed.
Maybe you should care more about panels and their feelings. If it looks lonely, draw something in there for it. A banana.
I feel sorry for the poor little unloved panels.
This panel here is in its manic phase, but it's going to be really difficult for it later on.
You wait till it grows up, all there's trouble in store.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's okay.
That was very nice.
Are we sure that Jane's finished?
I have finished, yes. Oh, okay. James is correct in assuming that I finished because I concluded.
Thank you very much. That was interesting. It's interesting when a book's slightly more controversial. We agree too much about... Well, no, we kind of did agree about this.
It's fine. I did,
But like when it's something like Tintin or something, we're just so... I'm quite oblivious about Tintin. I just like hearing about it. I don't really know if it's any good. Just James makes it sound really good by talking
about it.
They're all
good. Hershey was a genius.
I was surprised that I was actually going to talk about this. And if this wasn't a whole, oh crap, I've left it too late. This was I read Stuck With It and got through it. And I was like, okay, this isn't something I would usually like, but there are some good points here. And like you said, it's a nice slice of viewpoints from that time and what was going on. It's still very current now, so.
Yeah, I really enjoyed hearing you talk about a book like that, actually. Thank you.
It was
really,
I really
like that. Maybe I could tell you that after the pod, really, rather than on it, which is
no, it's
weird.
Fine. Congrats for like being congratulatory. It's nice.
We're gonna have 5 minutes of backslapping now.
Yeah.
Well done, Jay.
Don't actually slap her back. That's
why not?
Assault.
That's fine. It's not. Do you feel assaulted?
No.
Yeah. Go off.
All right. Fine. Whatever.
Sunshine.
You two in your weird sadomasochistic relationship.
I thought we kept that on the QT so well. I'm really embarrassed.
I think it's my reaction to Jennifer Blood gave away.
You're a cutie.
There's
Is it weird if I say it to Jane as well?
No, I think it's being fair.
Oh, okay.
I did a blog. You can look at on our blog. Well, I don't normally do that.
What was it about?
About Tintin.
Yep. Yeah.
I gave it a special rating. So what read it for the special.
It?
I gave it a
no, don't tell
no,
us.
Read it.
And you'll say I gave it a special rating at the bottom.
Did you like it, though?
The Tintin movie. You can listen to last week's pod or read the review.
Did you talk about it last week?
Yeah, I did, If you didn't listen to it at 1.75 speed, you could hear what we were saying. You're listening back.
No, but I was in the room at the time.
I think he finds it boring. He finds new ways to enjoy it.
I really like the Tintin.
He'll be coming in whipped cream and cuffing it relaxed and tickling it.
And spanking it.
I don't know what is
happening
pineapple rings. Right now.
Yeah. Making
Why
it call him
sir. So weird.
And dust the windows.
Tell me I can leave this room.
I feel a bit funny.
Okay, then maybe we should
tummy.
Go.
Yeah.
That's the whipped cream thing. It's a bit of a trigger word for me, but not in a bad way.
That's why safe word. See,
I never use whipped cream in any of my blogs.
It's not a safe
a
word.
You're spicing it up. See.
Oh, you like anyway. Okay, that's nice.
Ready.
You turned into the woman from Total Recall. Then. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, hang on. Are we
thank you,
any...
contributors or non-contributors, or just thank you for being you and existing and doing
thank
what you're
you
doing.
Thank you for being a friend.
Because you know what? People aren't saying as many nice things at the moment, so we should be nice. Thank
Who
you,
in
listeners.
General or on the podcast?
In general. No, not on the podcast, in general. You're nice. Whatever else is happening, you're nice and we like you.
You're a beautiful individual.
You two are weird hippies.
I think it's Bert Baccarat for the outro, then. Here we go. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
to me. What? It ain't nothing but a heartbreaker. What? And got one friend, that's the Undertaker.
It's not. It's perfectly reasonable size.
It's not.
And to be fair,
well,
he's not
got a really big. No, it's really high up.
Yeah, it is.
Do you find that sometimes yours is bigger than other times?
Welcome to the 111th Monkey My Back podcast.
Should we go again?
Fucking brilliant.
Oh, I can't talk. I wasn't expecting to do this on a spotlight.
Just fucking
do it. Do
you
want me to do it? I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it.
Especially scripted for Jane. Yeah. I like Jane doing the intro. He's got a nice voice.
All right.